So my first question is, how are your New Year's resolutions going? Okay, honesty at church. Just raise your hand or not if you actually write down your New Year's resolutions. Any, I know I did. Okay, at least one person writes them down. But if you're like me, you probably would think about the coming year, right? We don't just, or maybe you don't at all. But I know somebody has written down. I read an article, a guy named David Quaid, I believe, and it was called End of Year Check-Up Questions for Christians. So this was kind of written as a looking back on the previous year and some questions about spiritual growth. I'm going to frame them as questions as sort of New Year's resolutions. And so it could be things like, you know, I will make regular devotions with the Lord a priority. And, you know, some, as we heard this morning even, or if you don't know, some are reading through the Bible using the Bible app. And if you'd like to join on that, then please let me know and I'll get you hooked up with those people. I'm not doing that. Here's another one. Unless there is an emergency, I commit to attending church every single Sunday. Another one, I will confess and repent of my sins quickly. I will trust God's providence when things don't go my way. That one's tough. But this is one that I feel most guilty about. And you know, Peter Acetti speaking this morning, he mentioned this too. You know, I will regularly share the gospel with non-believers in hopes of persuading them to repent and trust in Christ. And I don't do that as much, and Peter said this as well. But you know, I do share the gospel quite a bit. Here I speak on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. We need to include the gospel. I work with the youth, and so I'll regularly share the gospel with the youth. Tuesday nights, Awana, giving a Bible lesson, we share the gospel. But with those people that are outside of the church, that I do rub shoulders with, do I share the gospel with them? And, you know, I'm not trying to guilt us. I mean, I can guilt myself too, and I'm not, that's not the main point of this message tonight, so we'll get to that. But we are going to focus on one verse from the book of 1 Corinthians. You can turn to 1 Corinthians, and my prayer is that, you know, as we think of 2019, how can we be encouraged? How can we be fired up, stirred up? That last song that we sang, I've never sang that song before, but it was really just a great song. Stir up in our hearts a passion for the name of Jesus. So 1 Corinthians 16, we'll read these few verses, verses 5 to 9. There is a wide door of effective work, or a door of service. There is a wide door of effective work for us as Christians, and there will be opposition to our efforts. So 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5, it says this, Paul here writing to this church at Corinth, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter. I don't think it would be as cold as here. So that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus. So Paul is in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. This is the door that we'll be looking at tonight, a door of effective work or a door of service. And here on Sunday nights in the fall, we've been looking at doors of the Bible. And the main goal of looking at these doors is that we would focus on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so if you've been here Sunday nights, looking at the ark door with Noah and the ark, the temple door or the sheep door. Later this month, we'll be looking at the door of the tomb, that stone that was rolled away. And so these doors point to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Now this door of effective work, is really the result of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so we can step through this door in the power of Jesus' name because of what Jesus did on the cross and because of his triumphant resurrection. Because of what he has done, we can now serve our King. And let me just say this, that we don't serve Jesus so that we can be saved, right? That we're saved to serve. And so our good efforts in serving, it's not to find favor with him, and it's not to, get in his good books. He loves us so much, and so we serve him because we're thankful for what he's done and in obedience to him and out of love for him. Now, if we think of 1 Corinthians, Paul here is on his third missionary journey. And as we saw from verse 8, he's in Ephesus. And so he's not in prison like when he wrote the book of Colossians that we studied in the fall here at Bethel. Or the book of Philippians was also written when Paul was in prison, some other letters as well. And so that's good to know. Paul had previously visited the city of Corinth, and so he was writing to them. He had done that on his second missionary journey. But he's writing this letter because he wanted to address some issues that were taking place in the church. There were issues of division. There was sexual immorality going on in the church and being accepted among the people. There were questions about food. And there was the truth that our Christian faith would be meaningless without the resurrection. So that's all contained in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're not going to look at all of that, certainly, tonight. But one thing I do want to do is, if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, and I hope it's in print, but do you have maps in the back of your Bible? If so, I can't remember the last time we looked at the maps in the back of our Bibles. I don't know, Rod, have you taken us to the back maps before? Well, I will have it up there too, but I do want you to turn to the back of your Bible. Jerry, did you bring your print Bible with you? No. So it would be the page that has, the missionary, this is my last map, the missionary journeys, and it'll often have all three missionary journeys and then Paul's final journey to Rome. And so the third missionary journey, and yes, I do have a map up on the screen. This arrow is just the his third missionary journey. And so this first oval is Ephesus. This is, back in those days, that was called Asia, but this is modern-day Turkey. So Ephesus on the eastern side of the Aegean Sea. And referenced in the passage we read was Macedonia, which is in the northwest there. And that would have been where Paul would have passed. And then Corinth is on the western side of the Aegean Sea, modern-day Greece. And so they say it takes about 8 days if you would go straight across, perhaps, to travel by boat. But I think the journey, and with Paul wanting to pass through Macedonia, that it would have taken quite a bit of time to get to Corinth from Ephesus. So really neat to just look at where Paul is writing from and when. This was about 55 A.D., whether it's 20 or so years after Jesus has returned back to his Father, and now Paul is being a missionary to the Gentiles, and so writing about this this door that is open for him. So anyway, we'll stop with the maps and the timelines. We could spend all night looking at this, but we're going to focus on this one verse, verse number 9. And the first thing I want to say is that it's a wide door. I don't often mention Greek words, but the Greek word for wide is megas, from which we get the word mega. And so I think we're all familiar with mega. This would be, yeah, if you like to shop, you're looking for the mega deal, like my wife. If you're not old enough to play with regular Legos, you would be playing with Mega Blocks, because they're a little bit bigger, wouldn't get stuck in your mouth. If you're trying to talk to a large crowd, you may need a mega phone. And then for you younger ones, or who remember, you know, one of the Transformers is called Megatron. I guess he must be big. But this is a wide door. This isn't just a little door, but this is a wide door. This is great opportunity that Paul has in Ephesus. So he wasn't going to go to Corinth yet because he had this wide door. And we get to see what was happening, because Paul is probably referring to some moments that we get to see in the book of Acts. So you don't need to turn to this, but listen or follow along on the screen. Acts 19, starting at verse 1, it says this: "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth," so Apollos was another guy that met up with Paul, and so he's over in Corinth, "but Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus." This is where Paul is writing 1 Corinthians from. "There he found some disciples, and he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue," the synagogue would be the Jewish synagogue, "and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way," that's referring to Christians, "before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks." So Paul had a wide door, and he was taking that opportunity. It was a mega great opportunity to be preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. He was 3 months in that Jewish synagogue, a place where the Jews gathered for teaching. And then he spends 2 years in this hall, and it says that all of the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice to get a copy of that sermon series that Paul was giving? But we do have a lot of it, because he wrote a lot of letters. There is also a wide open door for us here in Sault Ste. Marie. And Jesus outlines it for us, you know, when he's speaking to the disciples shortly after he's about to ascend back to his Father. And, you know, we know it as the Great Commission. This is Matthew 28, and it says this. I want to read it. "Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And we have this wide door, this mega opportunity that we can go and make disciples. And that can happen here in Sault Ste. Marie. It can happen in Kenya. It can happen in Turkey, in France. You know, all the missionaries that we support. And there's endless mega opportunity. We are to make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. The door is wide open. So whether you're a pastor or a preacher, you're a parent or a grandparent, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or you're a leader of a small group, whether you're an employer or an employee, whether you're a coach or a player, whether you're a missionary or are retired, the door is wide open to be serving our Lord. Now, the second thing that we see in this verse is that it's a wide door for effective work. I want to go back to Acts 19. Again, just follow along with these words. God was doing extraordinary miracles. This is effective work by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." And there were some guys, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva, were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. And that word extolled means to be praised enthusiastically. And so this was effective work. It continues. Also, many of those who are now believers came confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Through Paul's preaching, the miracles that God was doing through Paul, and the events that were taking place, such as with those sons of Sceva, these were all effective things in bringing praise and honor to the name of Jesus. And new believers, they were turning away from their false practices, even at great cost to them, in obedience to God's word. And so here we see this was effective work. And so Paul, he's saying to the Corinthians, "I'm going to stay here a little bit because there is this wide door and effective work is being done." And so this is for us. This is Ephesians 4. This is what happens in the church, that God, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So again, Peter mentioned some of these titles this morning, that yeah, we have evangelists, we have shepherds, we have these teachers. But notice that who does the work of the ministry? That it's the saints that are equipped. So it's the saints that are equipped by these people that perhaps have roles, the trainers. But then it's us as people who are part of the body of Christ, the saints. We do the work of the ministry, and that builds up the body of Christ. And so this is how God has set up his design of the church, and this is effective work. And we're doing this, and by God's grace, we can do more. We want to be wise about this, but this is effective work. And as we read in Matthew 28, thinking about the Great Commission, remember Jesus said that all authority has been given to him. So we do this in the authority of Jesus' name. And then that last promise is so great, the promise of his presence. So again, so much is going on at Bethel, this wide door for effective work that we're doing here in Sault Ste. Marie and around the world. And I just wanted to share one thing that I'm doing right now. I'm not saying this to say how great I am at all. But one thing that we started is this Conquer series on. A group is meeting Sunday nights, and one group is meeting Tuesday nights. And the goal of this Conquer series is to give a battle plan for purity. And, you know, we live in such a sin-sick world. The rise of the internet and smartphones has just given access to all kinds of evil and wickedness. But you know, a group like this, having a battle plan for purity, is that we want to give hope and become conquerors in Jesus' name. And so I see this as, it's a wide door. And you know, this isn't a new problem. It's not something just for our contemporary age. It's happened all through history. But we are in a unique time with the access that we have. But this is a wide door for effective work. And I pray that it would continue so that it can build up our church here, because it is really needed. Last thing. Always does this to me. It's not you, Jennifer. It was me. Many adversaries. Our three enemies, the flesh, so that's ourselves, you know, we're our own enemy. The world, the system of thought out in the world, is certainly our enemy. And then the devil is certainly not silent. And when effective work is happening, there will be opposition. There will be adversaries. Let me read this, Acts 19 again. Now, after these events, Paul resolved in the spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. And having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. So again, he's in Ephesus, which is in Asia. About that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, which was the goddess, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, men, you know that from this business we have our wealth, and you see and hear that not only in Ephesus but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. This is what Paul was saying, rightly so. But they didn't like that. Goes on to say, and there is danger, Demetrius is still talking, he says, there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship. When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So the city was filled with the confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. And then in Acts 20, the first few verses say, after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell, and now he's departing to Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. So he's getting close to Corinth. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. So here we see that Paul had many adversaries because he was doing this effective work for the Lord. These people who were making silver gods and goddesses, because of what Paul was saying, their business was decreasing. And so they weren't going to have any of that. And so they start a riot. And then we also see that the Jews were plotting against Paul as well. And so wherever the gospel is preached, there will be opposition. I want to end with these guys. You may be familiar with Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Ed McCulley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udarian. But if you're not, I hope that you would look into their lives a bit. But it's just over 63 years ago that these five missionaries flew into Ecuador, and they were martyred for their faith. It was January 8th, 1956, that they were martyred at the end of spears of this tribe that they were trying to reach for the gospel. And these guys were so passionate. Again, I think of that last song that we sang, stir up our hearts for passion for your name. These guys were passionate to reach. You know, this tribe was known, they were called the Aucas, which really meant savages. But their name is the Waudani, or even I saw another name that maybe they're going by now that I can't say or pronounce. But then they became known as the people, but these guys wanted to reach them. And so here's, they're at the plane. They were able to fly onto this sandbar so that they could make contact. First, they were flying above this tribe, and they would, were able to give them gifts, and they received gifts from the tribe because they wanted to make contact so they could share the gospel with them. And they knew that would take some time, but when they did finally make some contact, they were so excited. But after a few encounters, they ended up being speared to death. And it was such a tragic thing, and we could think, well, man, that's the enemy working right there. But the story continues, if you don't know, that one of the pilot's sister and then also Jim Elliott's wife, Elizabeth Elliott, went back to the tribe through some circumstances, and many of that tribe are Christians now, and some of the family members of these guys went and lived with that tribe for many years. And I was just reading, again, reminded of a Steve Saint is the son of the pilot, who's Nate Saint, and he was baptized by the guy that killed his dad. And somebody, you know, a reporter would ask, you know, how could you forgive this man? And he said, you know, without God, it wouldn't be possible. And so you can see how this tribe, many of them came to faith in Christ. And this is the wide door that we have. And it's effective work, but there are adversaries and opposition. So just, you know, a great story to be reminded of. And just like those men and women in that tribe, they're saved from the consequences of their sin through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's through simple trust in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And then we wholeheartedly serve him, not because it's a duty, not because we have to earn favor with him, but it's out of our love and our desire to obey him because we love him. So the door, it's wide open. It's a mega door that we can walk through. It's for effective work, but there are many adversaries. And again, I know there's so much work going on here. You know, we want to be wise, have a good balance of work and rest. God's designed all of that for us. But I pray, again, as Peter mentioned this morning, that 2019 would be a good year for us, for each one of you, for myself as well, as we walk through this door of service that's wide open. Let's pray together. Father, thanks for this chance to look a little bit in the life of Paul and the work that he did for you, this wide door of effective work that he did. And thank you for his life, but thank you most of all for the God that he served. And Lord, would you please help us to be wise, to think about how we can be used by you to serve you, not in any way to gain favor or out of a sense of feeling guilty, but because of our love for you, because of all that you've done for us. And would you please bless Bethel, bless other churches around Sault Ste. Marie as we continue to shine our light for you and to be used effectively. And Lord, we know there'll be opposition. We don't certainly presume to think that we live in necessarily an easy time, and we know there are brothers and sisters around the world facing severe persecution, Lord, and even as we see how the things of Christianity are frowned upon even in our own culture, Lord, would you help us to be wise in how we would engage and gently speak the truth with love and with grace, and Lord, that you would draw people and bring people to repentance, knowing that this is all for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.